First Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read beginning with verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that this chapter and this epistle was written to Christians, to believers who were either going through some severe trial or persecution. Now, I don't know, I've served the Lord most of my life. I can't say that I've ever really endured persecution. Maybe just slight little things, but nothing compared to the persecutions that many believers now in other parts of the world and many over past generations. My persecutions have been very, very small, hardly even anything. I think most of us have had limited persecution for our faith. But we have had trials, and some have had severe trials. And I think we all understand that trials are just a part of the Christian experience. Nobody really likes to hear that, because we have this ideal that somehow you get saved, things just improve, and you don't go through things that people who are not Christians go through. But it is different. It is different for the believer. It's different for us who know the Lord. Yes, we do have circumstances. Deuteronomy 11 talks about the promised land. And we know that the promised land is not, it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the victorious life that God wants us to enter into. And so he says that this land of promise, of Deuteronomy 11 and verse 11, but the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. It is a land of hills and valleys. Your victorious life is a land of lows and highs. We all experience them, seasons. And that's what the apostle is describing here, that there are. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But I think that the important thing, and I don't know why I'm still talking about this, but it's what's on my heart to try to give you some things from God's Word that can bless you, help you, encourage you if you are going through some severe trial right now, that you can understand some things from the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. Do you understand that as a Christian, there is a contentment that God can give to you no matter what you're going through? Amen. No matter how severe the trouble or the trial is, there is a peace and a contentment that the Lord can give to you. He said, that's verse 11 of chapter 4. In the very next verse, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, the verse that we all know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so he's just saying, because I have the Lord, and by his power in my life, I can face the hills, the valleys, the trials, the good times. I can go into all of these things with a peace and a contentment because he gives me the strength that I need in it all. And so some of you that may be now, or maybe that down the road soon, you're going to enter into a season of trial or maybe even persecution. As Faye was describing, we really don't know what's just around the corner for us here in our country. We don't know what Christians might face or the church might face in the coming months and years. It may be that we will go into a season in the United States of America that the church does face persecution just for the things that we stand for. But the apostle said, I have learned contentment. I have learned to have peace and contentment, even if I'm abased, if I'm elevated, if I'm going through trials, persecution, whatever. He says, I am strengthened through my relationship with the Lord. I can do all things. I can face all things with victory and courage. Amen. Now, as I said, probably none of us here have really, maybe only in a limited way, have we ever really been truly persecuted. But the scripture does say, Paul to Timothy, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Maybe it's to the level that we are close to the Lord. And another verse that describes this is that person who departs from evil, we mentioned it recently, he that departs from evil maketh himself a prey. The closer you get to God, the more godly you become, the more Christ-like you become, you very well may be put in a position to face trouble and persecutions in your life. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But this is a chapter that gives us some insight into how that we are to respond to those kind of things. It isn't so much your actions, it's your reactions. It's how you respond to trouble. It's how you react and how you receive God's power, God's grace in your life when you go into these times. But in this chapter, there's several things that I believe are for us to take courage in and to find encouragement from the Word of the Lord. And I just want to mention a few of these here tonight. Describing here, first of all, and I'll back up to verse 2, where it describes the fact that we are the elect, we have been chosen of the Lord, and that we have been begotten by God. Can you imagine? Be encouraged tonight because you have been born again. You have heard the gospel, and there are still millions and billions of people around the world that don't know Jesus Christ. But you have been blessed to know the gospel, to hear the gospel, to receive it, and to feel the effect of that in your life. Be encouraged tonight to know you're in a different category. You've been chosen by the Lord. Now, I don't believe that God just chooses certain ones. I don't believe in election to that point, that God only chooses a few for salvation and others are already condemned
to hell. I believe that God is equal in the availability of the gospel and works individually in the hearts of people. But I do know that if you're saved tonight, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. And the scripture says you have been chosen, you have been begotten, you have been sanctified by the Spirit. You've been set apart, you belong to the Lord, and you should be encouraged to know that you belong to the Lord. And then secondly, it describes here that we have been begotten by a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You remember those disciples? They were all downcast as they were walking on the Emmaus Road. We thought that he was the hope of Israel. We thought he was the one. They were so defeated. They were so hopeless. And their despair had overwhelmed them so much that even when Jesus came and joined himself to them and begins to talk to them, they still don't even recognize him. Amen. They didn't recognize him. Sometimes your worry, your trial, your burden becomes so heavy that you are blinded to the reality that Jesus is alive and that he's done a work in your life. Amen. Amen. Don't let your trouble, your trial, darken or keep you from being able to understand the truth of the gospel. Finally, in the breaking of bread, as Jesus communed with them, the Bible says their hearts began to burn within them. Then in the breaking of bread, in that fellowship time, their eyes were opened and they realized, this is Jesus. This is really him. And they made their way back to the city of Jerusalem to join with those other disciples, letting them know he really is alive. And so you and I have been begotten by a living hope, a lively hope. And that is that we don't have a religion, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he is truly alive. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so be encouraged to know that your relationship with the Lord is what can open your eyes and dispel the darkness of your trial and your trouble. Amen. Then it says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. While you're in the midst of this fiery, dark trial, while you're facing this pressure and persecution, be reminded of the fact that you have the promise of God's word, that he is going to protect you. It literally means that he's going to defend you like someone who finds a fortress or a safe place, a secure place. That's what Jesus is. The name of the Lord is that strong tower, and the righteous can run into that for a hiding place and a safe place in the midst of your trying circumstances. Run to the Lord. Run to the Lord. And understand that it's the name of the Lord that's a strong tower, a wonderful hiding place. We are kept by the power of God. Now this is a message to people who are in great fiery trials and persecution. And what he's saying to them is that Jesus is alive, even when it doesn't feel like he's alive. And Jesus is your hiding place, even when you feel like that you're vulnerable and afraid and you don't know what to do. And then he says in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season. It is an amazing thing whenever a person in the midst of their trial can really rejoice. You understand that there is a rejoicing and a worship and a praise to God that comes out of your fiery trial that cannot be compared with any other worship. It is that which has been produced in you through the fiery trial. Whenever you set your eyes upon the Lord, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Be encouraged if you're in a trial that God allows Christians to go into seasons. That means you'll come out of the season. But right now you might be in the season. And it will only last for a while. But this heaviness, you may be asking the question, why? And you're having a hard time rejoicing. Rejoice in the fact that God only allows us to go through seasons of times like this, and then he brings us out victorious on the other side. That's how he works in the lives of believers. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you be in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold. Could I just remind you that you rejoice in the fact, you rejoice in your trial, number one, because you know it's only for a season. And then according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the Bible says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Or he allows you to go through these times. So whenever you're in a season of trial, that's a reminder to you. Just wake up and realize, I'm in this trial. That's a reminder to me that it's just a short season. And it's a reminder to me that I am loved by the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I am loved by the Heavenly Father because he chastens his sons and scourgeth his sons. And if you endure this chastening, God dealing with you as with sons, for what is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And we know that in your trial, you need to be reminded, it's only for a season, so I can rejoice because it's going to be over. And then number two, I can rejoice because it's a reminder to me that I belong to him and he loves me. And number three, it's a reminder to me that I'm his child. I'm his son, because he only chastens those that are his children. And you're going through the trial, but it's a reminder to you, I belong to the Lord. I'm his daughter. I'm his son. I belong to the Lord. And so I can rejoice in that, in the middle of my trouble, that God loves me. And I belong to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only that, but verse 7 says that the trial of your faith is precious. The trial of faith is producing something in you that only God knows needs to be produced in you. It says that the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, gold can last a long, long time, and it doesn't decay or destroy, but eventually it does perish. Gold does not always last. Gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But what God is producing in you is more valuable even than gold, because it's something he's working in you that has eternal value. Praise God. In the middle of your trouble and trial, God is working something in you that will last not only for time, but for all eternity. Amen. Might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's working something in you. It's producing something in you. So in the midst of your trial, you can rejoice in spite of the fact that you're suffering, or maybe that you're hurting, or that you're grieving, or whatever that your trial or persecution might be. You can rejoice in the fact that it's only a season, that God allows you to go through these seasons. You are going to come out of it. On the other side, you are going to be better for it, because God is going to produce some things in you, if you allow him to, that will have eternal value, helping you to be prepared for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know I'm going with the same theme that I did Sunday night, but I just, this is what's on my mind, and I think I need to just keep kind of reminding you of this, encouraging you to know the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Whom having not seen, now verse 7, we could read that again. Let me go ahead and go back to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believe, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a joy that comes that is not can't be compared with any pleasure or anything that the world has to offer. As you're going through these times, the grace of God is poured out upon you, and God helps you in your severe trial. He's producing something eternal in you, and you're rejoicing with a joy that's too great to put words to it. Joy that's unutterable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, what it's talking about when it talks about the glory, full of glory, it's talking about the awesomeness of your eternal home, full of glory, and how that it can be compared. This, what God produces in you, can be compared. It's really like it's a little taste of what it's going to be like to be in the presence of the Lord. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. The same kind of joy as you'll experience when you enter in to heaven. The blessedness of the experience of God's faithfulness to bring you through your trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. I think many times we just don't even consider how blessed we are. How blessed we are. I don't wish to be living at earlier years. I don't wish to be living, you know, 50 years ago or 100 years ago or you know, I love to read about, you know, great men and women of God and great moves of God in the past, but I don't wish to be in those days because I believe that God has put us in a wonderful time. A wonderful, wonderful time. A blessed time. We are a blessed generation. A blessed generation. As a matter of fact, when you read these next verses, it's describing it this way, that the prophets, they looked to this day. They longed for the day you and I are living in. They looked for it. It says, verse 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The prophets before were longing for the day of grace. They were longing for the appearance of Jesus Christ. They were longing for the time that you and I now are a part of. Amen. And they understood in part. They had some ideas about it. They longed for the day. And it says that even the angels, which things the angels desire to look into. So those in the past, the prophetic voices, they looked at the day that we're living in right now. And they longed for this day. And the angels who are in this world and the angels, it's like they're looking over our shoulders and saying, oh, this is amazing. This is wonderful. They look into it. They can't comprehend it. Even though they're angelic and glorious created beings of God, yet they don't understand sin and they don't understand the grace of God and forgiveness and they don't understand the glorious plan of salvation of which you and I know about and can personally experience and we can tell people about it and proclaim the gospel. We live in a wonderful age, a wonderful time that the prophets searched for and longed for and the angels look over our shoulders and watch almost like that they're in the audience observing something wonderful and glorious that God has provided for us. Amen. Glory to God. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice in it. Amen. Unto whom it was revealed, verse 12, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. So every time the gospel is preached, every time that you witness to somebody, every time that God uses you and the message of the gospel goes forth, the prophets long for this day and the angels look into it. They are amazed at the gloriousness of this wonderful plan of salvation. Amen. Wherefore, so since all these things, in the midst of your trial, since we know all these things, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end
for the grace that is brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he says, gird up your mind, it's the imagery is there of someone that in their Bible times would wear these long flowing robes, different layers of their robes, and they would, to gird it up, it would mean they would pull it up to where they would be able to run. So they could run, or it meant whenever they did that, it meant that they were ready for activity. It meant they were ready to make movement, to do something, to accomplish something, to work or to run or to accomplish something. And so he's describing here that you should gird up your mind and prepare your mind, prepare your mind. And really, as I read through this, the phrase that came to my mind was just always be ready for anything. Always be ready. That's what they would do to gird up their garments. Meant that they were preparing themselves for action, for activity, to run or to work or whatever activity, that to get these things, these hindrances out of the way so that they could get moving. So you gird up your mind, the loins of your mind. You gird up your mind. And the only way that you can do that is by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen. Fill up your heart and your mind with God's Word. Gird up your mind and be ready. Always be ready for anything. So that when you do see yourself slipping into some fiery trial, some difficult situation, even in the midst of that, you can still rejoice. You can still rejoice. Why? Because you're a part of this wonderful age, this glorious age of the grace of God, whereby you can hear the gospel and be saved. The prophets long for it, and the angels look on with envy because of the blessing of God's grace in our life. So be ready. Be ready for anything. Whatever comes your way. And understand that in your fiery trial, it's only for a season. You will come out of it. You will come out of it victorious. And it's a reminder to us of how much He loves us and that we belong to Him. Amen. In the middle of your trial, just remember, Lord, thank you. This is reminding me that I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm in the middle of this trial. And that just helps me to know that you love me. You care about me. So I'm just going to gird up the loins of my mind, and I'm going to be ready for whatever. Whatever he wants me to do. To work or to run or to prepare myself for whatever that he's asking me to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every Christian goes through times that are troubling trials. I wish I could say that I have never, ever gone through a trial, but I've been through plenty of them. And you have too. You've had questions. You've had burdens. You've had times when you didn't know why. You were asking that question, Lord, why? Why is this happening? Why are you allowing me to go down this pathway? Every one of us have asked that question. And maybe some of you many, many times. There are things in life that you could never plan on. You could never predict that they would happen. Trials that you enter into that you just think, Lord, what's going on? Why are things this way? Why am I in this trial? We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and be reminded of the fact of how precious this trial is and how much God wants to produce in you. And how much that he loves you and how much he wants to bring you through it for the better on the other side. To produce something eternal in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. You care about those that are in this place tonight that are full of questions and worry, and they're in maybe manifold temptations, many trials. And Lord, the weight upon their mind and the weight upon their heart is heavy. But Lord, I just thank you that you're at work. We're holding on to the truth of your word. That in the midst of this, Lord, that you're producing some things. You're accomplishing some things. And Lord, we know that through this season, by your grace, you will work in us. And you will produce eternal things in us. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you care about us. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders that you love us and that we're your children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.